Jordan, tell me about your trip to Greenland. How did it come about?
It was organised through Brian Catling at the University of Oxford, the Department of Fine Art, and with the help actually of Jesse Kleeman, who's in it and is based in Copenhagen, is a practicing artist there.
What was the remit of your trip?
We worked together as a group of European artists called the Wolf in Winter, and the idea behind that is that it's based on the feral and starving wolf coming in during the winter months and ravaging northern European villages. And so I think it was a challenge conceptually to go further north where that was very much a reality and where actually even the domestic dogs are at least half bred wolf.
Did it make you feel more feral to be up in the north? Did you find new aspects of your work up there?
I think it was very interesting because when we arrived in Nuuk, which is the capital, they assumed we were Danish. And historically, the Inuit relationship with the Danish hasn't always been the easiest. And so, in a very, very small town, you can imagine a group of six artists arriving was something, maybe not an event, but there were certain assumptions made, and then by the time we had started to make the work, which is, I should probably explain, very low tech, and we don't rehearse together. We come together as a pack and we make poetic acts in relation to the spaces we find ourselves in, and there are often resonances there, but it's about as far away from theatre in that sense as you could possibly be. Yes, everything shifted. It was as though the expectations of everything you'd gone with, and as it seemed how they perceived us to be by the end, had moved. And that was very interesting because you could relocate things that you had thought were known, and they became unknown.
So when the wolves arrived in Greenland, what performance did you give?
We made a group performance of solo pieces in the cultural centre, which is an extraordinarily beautiful contemporary building. It's fantastic stone floor and wooden walls. So, in that way, it felt very European, but the audience was purely Inuit. And Jesse made a piece with roses, and roses are, as you can imagine, an extreme rarity in Greenland. They don't particularly grow. She bought every rose that she could find and gave them to the audience and performed a dance with them in her cloak. So it was very ritualistic, her piece, and very minimal, and it actually enables a bridge between some idea visually for us of Inuit custom through her, but with very much more contemporary symbolic content. So that was interesting. And Aaron Williamson, who's a deaf performance artist and poet, stood with a block of ice, quite a heavy block of ice, with his fist embedded in it until it began to melt. And we were making works that were very much for winter and for darkness, and that seemed to have a kind of local poetic resonance, and the audience were really wonderful.
Can you describe your own piece? What did you perform?
Well, this is where what some of those strange resonances occur, because I came with a piece that had roses as well, without knowing anything about what Jesse was going to do or she. I so it was quite a minimal piece. I started by having a mouth full of roses, so that the sensation and the way it appears to the audience is of gagging. And then these things are removed one by one. And then I had a necklace of candles which were lit, and the audience were lighting them for me, actually. So by the end, it was fully flaring, and they lit them very slowly, and it looked quite dangerous.
And were you there in the period of darkness?
We were there in the spring, so it was quite light.
I'm just thinking of the Santa Lucia Festival of
Yeah,
light and the candles.
there was very much I think that sort of Scandinavian resonance in the piece, but also elements of risk, I think had crept into what everybody was doing in one way or another. And these things were so simple that they really shouldn't have worked on some levels and wouldn't work for other spaces maybe. But there's something that requests sparsity. If you go to the graveyards in Greenland, this is just simply a white cross. I mean, everybody's aware of the idea of this sort of visual whiteout, but the implications for that in terms of making work are very interesting because, you know, we operate here within the idea of the white space, you know, the white cube. You go there and that is what it is. It is the white space, and that forces things to the surface that otherwise might not emerge.
I'm quite interested in the idea of your audience. You said they were very good and responded well to the performance. Did you find that the culture helped them respond to what in the UK would have been quite an avant-garde piece of work?
I very much got the sensation that there were less boundaries, as you would find with more of a kind of so-called arts-educated European audience, so that you felt that the performative moment was extremely real, and so there's a level of concentration within the audience because they're aware of their role. And I think also just because there is such a focus on the cultural centre there, and because relatively few things come to Greenland, there's a feeling of what does arrive being very much very considered, I think, by the audience there.
And did the experience affect your own work after your return?
Yes, I think when you go, the sense of, for me anyway, the alien landscape, the extremity of the landscape is so immovable and fixed, and you come back with that. So rather than it shifting you, it's something that you navigate afterwards, you know, it is a space that is absolute. And then I think for me personally, it made huge links through to Native American practices that I was very interested in America. And there was one aspect, it was an Inuit walking custom. And when you have a very strong emotion, you would pick an object up and walk with it until the feeling subsided. And then at that point, you put it down. And that alone has formed a huge amount of my understanding of space and time in relation to that experience and that intrinsic relationship to object that I think we came across there, where literally the survival is so unsentimental that these sorts of narratives and journeys are entirely different to understandings I'd had of how you can move across a geographic space.